homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is April 30th, 2020.
The world's in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you and with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. Again, that's 620-878-4682. And in case of an emergency, you can text Dan on his cell and then call him and let him know you're calling at 316-619-4886. That's 316-619-4886. You can find the mission updates and all the breaking news, about the Wichita Mission Church and all the radio program archives and all the contact information is at our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, remember we're a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on internationally. It's on YouTube and some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime.
Okay, let's thank our listener base from worldwide places like Budapest.
Yeah.
Hungary. Okay.
Yeah, no, well, wait a minute. It is supposed to be, I don't know why. It should be Hungary. I don't know why that.
It's Hungary.
let me say something. I have no idea why in the world that on our website that gives us all these stats that they would do as Hungary. It is H-U-N-G-A-R-Y, but it's supposed to be H-U-N-G-R-Y. Yeah, anyway, Hungary. Okay, go ahead.
It's supposed to be an A, not a Y. Okay. Mosul.
Mosul.
Mosul. That's weird, too. Iraq. Sydney, Australia. And in the USA, let's think Stockton, California, Honolulu, Hawaii, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners when it podcasts to the podcast later tonight.
Okay, I didn't quite understand. Okay. Please follow us and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Good Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, our prayer. Father, our prayer radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. In your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Okay, we're going to have a song first, and then we'll go into the program.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
Then the days of Noah keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought, forgetting about the flood. In anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned.
They interacted with human females, and they created the Nephilim, the giants. And so that happened. But beyond that, if we look at the book of Enoch, in the book of Enoch, we find out that they also brought technology and other things to down to human beings. Not only that, they taught them all kinds of insane, evil things, and actually that's why the world had to be destroyed. But which we'll go into that at a different time with scriptures. But my point is let's click over to UFOs. Now, there's people, if people look, whether it's the Indian culture or you look into ancient Sumerian cultures and all these different cultures, even Egyptian, you all see kinds of hieroglyphics and ancient writings that look like pictures of flying saucers and such. Do I believe in alien flying saucers? Let me get to my point. There is something going on, and there always has been something going on. We don't know what it is. I believe, like a lot of people, that it was the fallen angels and these beings that came to the earth. Well, if they were here on the earth during the time of Noah, you would think that when they say, well, it'd be as in the days of Noah, that these things would be coming back. And having addressed that, we are seeing a huge, huge increase, in UFOs across the world, and even landings and sightings. UFO sightings in North America jumped to nearly 6,000 in 2019.
Wow.
California, Florida, and Washington topped the rankings for the most UFO sightings, and there was a rise in the number of North Americans who looked up in the sky in 2019 and found something that didn't look like a bird or a plane. The National UFO Reporting Center, which tracks and calls messages from people around the United States and Canada about strange sightings in the sky, reported that it received 5,971 sightings in 2019, a jump from 3,395 in 2018. So it almost doubled in number. Now, a guy who runs the independent organization that's based in Davenport, Washington, said he couldn't explain why more people call about seeing flashing white lights, fireballs, disc-shaped objects, or other oddities in 2019. One of the mysteries of UFOlogy is there's a fluctuation in the numbers of reports over the years. He told ABC in a phone interview, some years it's been low, but it's gotten higher recently. California led the country last year with the number of UFO observations to the site at 485 in total, an increase of 182 sightings from 2018. Florida came in second with 385 sightings, which was 156 more reports than 2018. Washington came in third. But anyway, so the point is, there is something to these things. This is the first time the United States government are actually admitting that there are something called, they call UFOs, but they have another name for it. But we've seen the Navy release footage of these things. My point is I'm not trying to get us all into believing in a bunch of aliens and things, but when we're seeing all of these other things on the horizon, why wouldn't we take Yeshua and others at the word that it would be as in the days of Noah, that the same kind of situations would be here? And we do know that as in the days of Noah, and how evil the world was. And we're seeing that same kind of blatant outside evil right here in America. Now, I can't judge the other countries because I'm not there in their societies, but I do know here in America that there, practically every evil thing, whether it's abortion at birth or whatever, they're doing such ungodly things right up front and in denial of Christianity.
Right.
You know, so it's just getting crazy, crazy, crazy. So people, you need to keep your eyes open, and if you folks know somebody that knows about this stuff that you'd like to see me interview on the air, hey, send me their phone number, address, or whatever. Well, actually, I mean their email address is what I'd like to have, a website. And you can send it to them, and I'll talk to them and see if I can set up an interview. And speaking of interviews, folks, stay tuned in the next time we're on later today, because I will be interviewing Michael Snyder of the Economic Collapse blog, and he's going to be going in the corner on a lot of things. Now, anyway, go ahead.
Okay, beef prices are to soar to record high as meat packing plants shutter.
Now, You know, one thing I noticed when we went, you went to Sam's yesterday. Did you notice what the difference was in the meat then and we was there about a week ago?
No, it's still basically, in the big city, it's still basically the same. What I have noticed a big difference is in the small town shop stores, like in around the areas that we go shopping at. They are really price gouging bad. For instance, in one town, the hamburger was $4.59 up to $6.99 a pound, and in Wichita, it's $2.58.
Well, and that was at Sam's. You couldn't get it at $2.58 in most stores.
No, but it's $3.49 at the other places, though.
Okay, I'm amazed that you missed the big difference that was there. You want me to give you a second to think about that again? There was a major difference when we went to Sam's.
The meat, yeah, you can only get one pack of each kind of meat.
Okay, and last time we was there, You could get as much as you wanted, so that is a major...
Right,
major
and especially
difference.
For people that are in situations where maybe one family member shops for several households, like me, I shop for us and both of my sons, so three households, so if they want me to pick, and we live 60 miles from the store, so if they want me to pick up their meat, that means I have to go in and out of the store two or three times because I have to get... one per household. I can't just go in there like I usually normally do and just fill my cart and get it all over with and be done with it. And that's what somebody else on our mailing has said. They want you, one family member, to go to the store, but how can you do that when there's limits on everything and it's hard to go?
Right.
It's hard to do it. It just makes it twice as much work. I mean, it can be done.
Okay, but my point is that points to the shortage. And that was a major point that we couldn't miss is that last time we went, you get what you want. This time, it was a limit.
Well, and today, I about fell over red potatoes, $8.99 for 10 pounds.
What are you talking about?
At the grocery store this morning, 10 pounds of red potatoes, $8.99. 10 pounds of russet potatoes, $6.99. That's just ridiculous.
Wait a minute, where'd you go?
Coffin. I didn't want to say the name, but Marion, you
yeah,
know.
That's all right. I don't care. No, Marion. It's okay if you say the name of the store. I say Walmart. I say Sam's. I'll say the name of the store. Carlson's was what was it?
$8.99 for 10 pounds of red potatoes.
Didn't you just buy potatoes yesterday?
Did I say I bought them? No, I didn't buy them. That's how much they were. No, I didn't buy them.
But then when I said, let me finish, honey. What I said was, didn't you just buy some in Wichita? I was trying to say.
We got some at Sam's that was $4.99.
So that's was it the same size?
No, those were big baking potatoes that I got.
So
these are just regular 10-pound bags of potatoes.
I understand that. I'm just trying to establish something for the people because they don't know what you bought. The ones at Sam's, is that the normal price for them around
yes,
there?
Yes, it's 10 pounds of baking potatoes. It's the normal 10-pound bag, yes.
Anyway, yeah, well, so in the smaller stores, so that by making a comparison, and the people don't know what we're talking about, in Sam's and the big warehouse store, they were at normal, but here, out here where we are at, they were jumping way up. So food prices are jumping up, and it's starting in the little community.
And we noticed that in the Hill store, we noticed the price gouging way back when the lockdown for Kansas started at April 1st. They'd already started raising their prices up higher.
Yeah, the local little gas station thing here.
Oh, my goodness, that's terrible up there.
It went crazy. I started to get three candy bars up there one day, one for you and me and Elijah, my son, and our son, and it was like almost $8 for three candy bars.
Yeah, you came back and said it was $9-something. You told him, no, I'm just not that hungry for candy.
Yeah, I'm just having keep it. Anyway, go on.
Okay, this is a stark reality that you see plants that process the meat that are shutting down due to the coronavirus. And by the way, the coronavirus economic freeze could cost 47 million jobs and send the unemployment rate up past 32%, according to the St. Louis Fed projections, federal projections. There are nearly 67 million Americans working in jobs that are at high risk of layoffs, according to the analysts. So now the plants that are left open are pressured into processing more cases of meat a day, like this example.
Okay. You've got time. Go ahead and do this.
Jason Jerome, the senior director of the Retail and Food Service Engagement for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, explains it's not a supply problem, but rather an issue of demand and allocation. If the store normally orders 100 cases per day, and now they're ordering 500 cases per day, the warehouses cannot manage a 400% increase, Jason says. Therefore, they must allocate a lot to each location. What they feed are the most critical out of stock, and as a result, we see empty store shelves.
Right. So what they're trying to get it, you know, they're...
That's like the guy over there said he had 28 slabs of beef to make, you know, for hamburger for the store, ordered, and he only got 17 of them.
Who said that?
Over there at the store we go to, when we went over there in Hillsborough.
No, I don't remember what he
said.
Yeah,
he said he had 28. That's when we paid $4.99 for pound hamburger.
Right.
Because they ordered 28 and only got 17.
Right. So they give it to the bigger stores and not the smaller ones.
Yeah.
That's just garbage. Okay, go ahead.
So Jason has had multiple conversations with retailers and says, they are getting trucks every day, and each day there are different items available. The corporate teams are forced to move available products between all their stores. Now compound that with every grocery chain in the country doing the same thing, and you will see empty shelves in some locations for now, he says. There are also challenges inside the warehouses, Jason says. A warehouse that might normally pull 100,000 cases per day is now being asked to pull 500,000 cases per day. Wow. That's a big jump.
Right. It's really being crazy. And the farmers right now, they've got plenty of livestock, but the problem is processing plants are down or people are sick to transport it. So the supply chain's messed up. And that's why we always said you need to be stocked up in case of emergency. Well, tell them where they can find us, and we'll go to a break, and we'll come back.
And you can find all of our contact information, all the radio archives and updates and everything about the Mission Church over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
We'll be back in 4 minutes. That's time for the radio break.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He doesn't cause His cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. But then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful if we've been pruned.
Constantine the Great has become known as the first Christian emperor. In the year 313, he issued the Edict of Milan proclaiming the toleration of Christianity, which eventually became the official religion of the Roman Empire. The fact must not be overlooked, however, that just as Christianity had once been tolerated, pagan sun worship was also. After claiming to be a Christian, Constantine continued to honor the pagan gods, especially Apollo, the god of the sun. And in an effort to facilitate the conversion of pagans to Christianity, many pagan practices were combined with the true worship of the Creator and proclaimed to be Christian in nature. These and other considerations make it clear that Constantine's form of Christianity was actually a modified version of paganism. Coins depicting Constantine also bore the image of the pagan sun god and were inscribed Sol Invictu Committi, committed to the invincible sun. In the year 321, Constantine issued a decree stating, "All judges and city people and craftsmen shall rest upon the venerable day of the sun." Thus the establishment of Sunday, the sacred day of pagan sun worship, as a day of rest. Shortly after he made his Sunday proclamation, Constantine ordered his wife and eldest son murdered and had a bronze statue of himself set atop a tall column as Apollo, the sun god. This is the man known as the first Christian emperor. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Okay, we're back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay, I'm not even sure where we were at. Where were we at when we left?
Talking about the meat packing, the meat.
Yeah, I know that. And I had a.
What'd you say to you?
I know where I'm at. Anyway, so I believe that people.
You believe that people want?
Should get out there and stock up right now, because everything I see, especially today, and I've been going over it, meat prices are fixing to go through the roof. And you just, but I'm shocked over the potato prices.
Yeah, I fell over.
Didn't
you say something yesterday about you said that chicken was going to be the first to be sort?
Well, that's what Tyson said. Tyson put out a warning and some other people that. Bagged chicken, and I didn't even look when we were at Walmart.
No, I got four bags over there. Amazingly, it was $6.49 for 2.5 bag for 2.5 pound bags, which is they're usually $9, but they are $6.49. That was regular price. So
for chicken,
yeah, chicken breast.
Well, this just shows you how crazy information is, and it depends on what part of the country. every indication yesterday was that to find bad chicken was going to be the hardest thing to find. And today you tell me that potatoes are $9 or $8.98 something or other, and the chicken is below normal. Is there anybody out there that has absolute information? Does anybody know?
This is the end times. It'll change in a minute.
We used to say that about Kansas weather, you know, stick around, it'll change. But this is insanity.
I know one thing that never changes is the Word of God. Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
never changes. You can come today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 100,000 years from now, and it'll be the same.
That's because he says, I change not. But if you listen to a lot of these New Testament people,
oh my goodness,
they tell you that all that old stuff was
done this way, not like that anymore.
Biggest excuse is saying that all was fulfilled at the cross. If all was fulfilled at the cross, they would have a glorified body. We wouldn't be still waiting for the judgment on the world. We wouldn't still be waiting for all the stuff in Revelation that has never happened. And for an asteroid to hit the earth and the famines and all these things. And again, they would have a glorified body. If all was fulfilled, they'd have a glorified body. And that isn't the way it works. It has not all been fulfilled. And Yeshua said not one jot nor one tittle would no wise pass from the Torah until all things were fulfilled, and all things have not been fulfilled.
Not one jot nor one tittle. That doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. That means from Genesis' first letter to Revelation's last letter. Or the Torah, okay, the first five books, but I'm talking about the whole Bible.
Right, and a lot of people mess up. They skip over the fact that when they talk about prophecy, they want to jump to just Revelation. They will go a little bit into some other parts of the New Testament, but it's mostly Revelation, and they could get the best anyway from Matthew 24. But here's the point. They don't understand that all of those things were listed in greater detail by the various prophets that it was revealed to over the years. It wasn't all revealed to one prophet. It was revealed to different prophets at different times. Had bits and pieces at the end time.
Right, you got to have the whole story to get to the end of it.
We'll go back into some more of this here in a second, but I'm going to give them a shot. Do you know? Here's something that the people don't know. Most of them don't. Do you realize, folks, that most people, they say when Yeshua returns, he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives, and they think that's where he's going to come, and they think in an instant everything's going to be over. That's not what happens. When he returns, it actually says he comes up out of Sinai. He's going to return to Mount Sinai, and he's going to march up. There's going to be a procession of us, the saints, with Yeshua and the holy angels. It's going to march up from Mount Sinai. It's going to come down at Mount Sinai. It's going to march up from Mount Sinai through all the countries and make its way up to Jerusalem to do what? To free the captives. Well, what captives? Everybody says, well, it acts like, well, Israel isn't going to fall again. Well, Jerusalem will be split, and he will be coming to Jerusalem to set the captives free.
Right.
And so he's going to march up. There's vesture dripped in blood. That's because he destroys people coming up through there as the whole world watches. It's kind of like a reversal of the Exodus, but this is going to be the people call it the second Exodus. I don't know why, because it's more like a, instead of an accident, it's the ingathering. That's what it is. He marches up there. He gathers all our saints from all over the world. They march with him up from Mount Sinai, clear up to Jerusalem, and he overthrows the Antichrist, throws him into the lake of fire. That's it for that dude, you know. But it's an actual war.
Then it's 1,000 years, and then he lets him out again for a short time.
Right. Then there's a 1,000-year reign of Messiah from Jerusalem.
Right.
On the earth. And then after 1,000 years, he lets him and God make out for just a short period of time, and that's the end of him.
Yeah, so we got a long ways to go.
Well, right, but I can't wait for 1,000 years, because you and me and many others are going to have a glorified body. But
amen.
You see what it says that when we go backwards in time, and these New Testament people say, well, all was fulfilled at the cross. That has not been fulfilled. the devil's still out there going wild. In fact, the devil has not even came down to earth yet. He hasn't been thrown out of heaven. Right now, he's still in heaven. He's able to access the throne and ask the Father like he did in Job, hey, can I pick on this person? The point is, he will be kicked out of heaven with minions. They will come down to earth, and it will, you won't believe how bad it will be. It will be worse, but we are in that time. It's coming up to it. That's why so blatantly you can see all these evil, the evil in these people, especially these politicians and things that want to kill babies after they're born and think babies are useless, and they brainwash millennials and all kinds of children into believing that a human's not a human unless you say it's a human, because that's basically what they believe.
Isn't it kind of ironic that most of the hard-hit places like New York, California, and Washington, aren't those all the baby-killing states, most of the big ones?
Well, you can say that, but here's something else to throw into that factor, is most of the places that it's hit the hardest are places that have international flights coming in on a regular basis. And here, and let's go, New York, what do they have in New York that they have in San Francisco? They have a thing called Chinatown.
Yeah.
And the Chinese, see, when all this happened, they had a Chinese New Year or whatever, and so that was the people that left Wuhan, that they allowed them to leave and go to their relatives in other countries, and they celebrated it in New York. They celebrated it in Chinatown in New York. They celebrated it in San Francisco, and they brought it in. And so these are the places, the biggest concentration of people that it happens at is where there's international flights and there's a lot of foreigners. Now, they say in New York, now New York has a lot of Europeans flying, but it's still people coming from other countries. But it is ironic because most all the places that are hit the hardest are being mismanaged because they have governors and people that run the state and mayors that are liberal.
Right.
You know, and so those are huge liberal places. But going back to saying that people are still in denial of this. Look. If you're in New York, you're not going to think this is anywhere near normal. One out of six people know somebody that has died from it. They found a mortuary over there that didn't have room for their bodies. They had like 60 bodies outside in a U-Haul trailer for a week. And, that is not normal in any way, shape, or form. Or like we was talking the other day, I brought it up about the doctor, the lady doctor in New York, that committed suicide because she was seeing people die before they even get out of the ambulances. And maybe she could have walked off her profession, but all the blood and all the dying that she saw overwhelmed her and she committed suicide. You have nurses that are having nervous breakdowns. People that claim those things are normal, you need to go look at what people that have had it.
It can't be normal to be around all that death and people dying every day, every minute of every day. It's not normal.
Right. In any way, shape, or form, it's not normal. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And, it's just not normal.
It's just like people are just, if it's not right there in front of them where they see it and it's not affecting them, then it's not true or it's fake news or, some of the things.
Now,
Sam, with so many deaths, and so it's right there in front of you. I mean,
well, let's listen to this. Top coronavirus model predicts that 100,000 Americans will be dead by the end of this summer's first wave. As death toll has passed in the United States, it says 60,000, but it's 61,000 today.
Okay, the MOBS, MOBS model for the Network Science Institute at Northeastern University predicts that 100,000 Americans will have died of COVID-19 by the end of the summer. It also estimates that there will be about 89,000 deaths by mid-May if stay-at-home orders remain in place.
If they stay in place. But most states, a lot of rural states, are starting to open back up. And I'm not arguing I'm not the guy that has to sit and say who can get out and who can't, but I believe that we could be more open than we have been, but I really don't know. This This thing's crazy. Go ahead.
Okay, the death toll would increase to over 1 million in an unmitigated scenario, according to the projections that are among those used by the CDC to force the pandemic. As of Wednesday, the U.S. death toll is now at 61,000, and there are more than 1 million infections. The latest increase in the death toll came from the University of Washington's Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation Model, often cited by White House officials, raised its COVID-19 death toll projections this week. The model now projects 74,073 Americans will die from the coronavirus by August 4th, which is up from nearly 67,000 a week ago and 60,000 predicted 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and so the death toll is still rising. You know, now Trump said best case scenario we only get 60,000, but we're past that.
Okay, the figure is down from about a month ago when the model projected around 90,000 deaths related to the coronavirus in the United States. A COVID-19 simulator tool developed by Massachusetts General Hospital and Georgia Tech University predicts that current restrictions being implemented in various states could see the U.S. death toll reach about 86,000 fatalities by August 30th. These models all predict that reopening states too soon and relaxing social distancing measures will result in even more deaths.
Now, and, you know, again, it depends on who you go to and doing the math, but, you know, I like to go to the Health Ranger site, Mike Adams. He does the math pretty good, and, you know, it doesn't look good. Number one, people need to take it dead serious. I think that's where a lot of fault is. I can understand. It's easy to go out here in Florence, even though there's been death in Marion County. Everything seems pretty much like normal. There's a few less people out in the street, but we're just an old rural town, you know. And I know that there's some people that have even appealed to the Supreme Court over lockdown orders, and the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, for one, is fixing to weigh in on it, I do believe. I think they just issued a stay for the stay-at-home orders. But we haven't seen things like this, you know. I mean, I honestly don't know. And people were talking about homeless communities. I noticed today, went over, and we'll get into that in a second, but they were saying on a Facebook, put a thing out, well, why aren't there a bunch of homeless dead yet? That proves it's a hoax. No, it doesn't prove it's a hoax. First off, let's think about how do you get it? How did the original group of people get it?
From contact with other people.
That come from other countries.
Right.
Or that have business in other countries. The likelihood of homeless people interacting with somebody from another country and so on and so forth is low.
Right.
You know, that's pretty low. But two, there could be another factor at play here. The other factor that could be at play is that their immunity could be a lot more.
That is a lot higher than ours. They're outside 24/7, so they're outside, they're around the dirt, they're around the air, they're around all the germs, and so their immunity is built.
Right. And so that could be a big factor into play, and they call that herd immunity.
Right.
And now I'm looking back because, you know, I doctor people at the church.
Right.
Okay, I had two incidents stand out really strong, and it's been this year. One, that girl that always said...
The woman now that could barely talk, and she was all congested and everything.
That was the one from across the street. And she, big thing that she told me was that it not like any flu she had ever had. She could just barely breathe, you know.
I bet she had it.
She could barely breathe, and it lingered on her for a while. And I never seen a flu act quite like that.
She looked terrible when I seen her.
I just took it upon, maybe it was her poor health or whatever, but she recovered. Now, let me tell you about another one. There's another girl that come in. Remember the guy that gave you the salute?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he had this girl that he was coming in that was getting wore glasses. And, you know, right there by the office door where they were sitting in that one chair, they'd sit there in that one chair all the time and plug their phone in. Well, she had a horrible cough thing going on with her for well over a month, and she was getting worse and not better. I don't know if these people had coronavirus, but they had something very, very serious, but they got over it. But the whole place didn't get sick. You know, there was only a few people. I mean, I gave out some medicine this year. There wasn't near the call for medicine this year there has been in the past. There really, really hasn't. I kind of wondered about that.
December was the worst month for colds
for colds. But both of these people that we're talking about right now were not in December. It didn't happen in December. I know when it happened. It was in February, and it was right around the time that I bought the medication. It was middle to late February is when it happened.
That was towards the end of,
And I just know because I know when I got the money in to pay for the medicine. I was crying for medicine money in December, but I really didn't have a lot of cases of it, and I really didn't start going through.
We gave out a bunch of cough medicine, though, in December. I know
I didn't have cough medicine in December. I didn't get the cough medicine stuff.
Did you get cases of cough medicine?
No, I didn't get all that stuff until the middle to end of January.
Okay, well, that's when everybody had that case of cough syrup went quick. Everybody got it.
Well, right, and a lot of people that got cough syrup, it was questionable that they even had a cough. Because, you know, when you're giving out to the homeless, you know, it's kind of like, hey, I'm not a doctor. I can't listen to them and all
right.
that stuff. It's like, you need cough. Can I have some cough medicine? You got a cough? What's your symptoms? I got a cough. Well, you hit it to them. So noticing the people with hard cases, the hardest cases, those two were real severe that stand out. Not saying there weren't some other people that cough in there, but you know what I'm saying. There was those two cases that were unusual. But my point is that just doesn't. Now, FEMA has now ordered 100,000 more body bags, and they call them human pouches. That just sounds disgusting. But it says the Federal Emergency Management Agency has ordered over 100,000 of them. Now, I want to show you this picture.
That's for the second wave, they said.
Yeah, I want to get your reaction to that picture.
That's a big locust. That's a giant.
For the people, how big is it?
I think they mated with the giants or something. Shoot, it's to your forearm. If you wear bracelets, it's back clear from your hand, clear back to where you're.
Well, that's about 10 inches.
Yeah,
at least.
Sure,
10 inches
long.
Well, I'm going to put that out with the video. And if you go to proxyr.com, you can see the size of it.
Wow.
These are the things that eat a farmer's field in 30 seconds. Now, folks, these things are going on simultaneously around the world. Over there in Africa and all those nations over there, we've talked about it a bunch of times. It's getting worse, and it's going to get worse. And these people have nothing to eat. Here's the point. With Corona slowed down the food production in the United States, it slowed down food production all over the world.
Right.
And so now with this big gap over there in those countries in the Middle East, what's going to happen? They're not going to be able to get the emergency food help that they need. And so this is the UN called it, said there's part of the worldwide pandemic is going to be
starvation,
a huge food shortage. Famine. There you go.
Now, somebody posted a thing about mountains. I think that was Kathy, mountains of potatoes being buried because they don't have enough. No way. And then I seen another one with thousands of eggs getting destroyed, and I don't get that one. Why would they throw eggs away?
Well, they can't get them to market. You still have to be processed. For those eggs to come to us, they don't just go from the farmer to the store. They go through a processing, a place, a package of whatever, you know. So it's still food processing. People are sick in the food processing part of it. The farmers have a lot. The stores don't have it. It's the middle
it's
people.
The
processing plant. And then you also have, I don't know how many truckers whether they've gotten sick or whatever, and so then you also have the trucking industry in there. So you have more, there's several places food goes before it ever.
Then I read something about the farmers not being able to take their animals to market, and then they can't get rid of the animals, and they've already got babies coming up in back of those, and so they're not having room or places. They put, so they're going to take a big fall because they can't sell their animals.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Well, it is, and that is that way. They do it in cycles, you know what I mean? They get rid of the old and the young, they grow them up, and then so on and so forth.
So if they can't get rid of the old ones, they can only get so old before you can't eat them, they get too fast. So if they can't process them, then they're just a wasted animal, and that's what they're talking about.
Right. So while the food shortage didn't come immediate as this hit,
it's coming
in the next weeks and months. It's really, really coming, unless something dramatically changed. Now, maybe we can get out there and take care of America. I mean, you know, people will get back out. That's what I mean. But I don't know. This is a thing. This is a big question mark of I don't know. All the information you hear out there, folks, like I said, I'm still shocked over the potatoes. I don't know if I am
really shocked over that. 8.90, I still can't believe. It almost makes me think that they mismarked them. $8.99 for 10 pounds of red potatoes, that's just wild.
Well, there's no shortage. As far as I know, there's... But is he, so the question is this man price gouging? Or is, you know, taking advantage of... I'm not saying he is or isn't, but that kind of a price on a bag of potatoes when you can go in Wichita and it's normal... The normal price on potatoes is...
Well, and I hate paying $5 for them. I think that's too high. I'm used to paying, like... $2.50, $2.53 at the most.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Folks, why don't you go out and grow your own? Dig a hole in the garden and put some of the potatoes in it. And I told you where to get seeds and everything. Anyway, but hey, I'm going to throw this in real quick, and we've got to say something about the Mission Church. Anyway, there's a guy, it says Flip, General Counsel now is cooperating with the Durham Witness, cooperating because he was facing a bunch of James Baker, who is general counsel of the FBI, when the agency obtained warrants to spy on the 2016 Trump campaign, is now cooperating with the United States Attorney General. That's what we were looking for. This guy was going to be charged with a whole bunch of different things, and now he's flipping. He became a witness, and the heads are going to roll. And one of the people that's at the top of the list is the ex-head of the CIA, John Brennan, is the primary focus of their investigation.
Real quick, like I heard or I read or I seen or somewhere, I got it in my brain, they also just released something about Hillary Clinton, and she's getting ready to get her for the Benghazi thing. They've got evidence on her.
They just know now that for sure that she knew that it was a planned attack, but I don't see any charges with that. But we only got about a minute, so let's not get on that. Mission Church. Well, we took a break for a couple of weeks. We're going back next week, and with this meat shortage, folks, we're really trying to I want to raise some money to fill up the church freezer with hamburger and some other meat so we are prepared. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. Now, you can always donate online or over the telephone. You can get all that information. Let's see, you can donate online, over the phone, mail a check or money order. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. Now,
yes, because when we go back and what we are going to do though is one good meal. We're going to serve out the back door, and so we're going to need go plates and bottled water. So if you want to help with this, you can send money. It'd be about the best thing because we've got to get the supplies as we can get them with this shutdown. So, but we really need meat for the dinners and go plates and bottled water.
Sounds like we're making. We'd be getting some potatoes.
yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, but and potatoes, onions, and things. You know, we did it. So we just need your help. We need your support, the money, so that we can go find what we want. If you live in Wichita, you can bring any of the things that we listed. Just get a hold of us and I'll arrange for you to drop it off. So pray about it. You want to tell them goodbye?
Shalom. Have a nice week.
Folks, you must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, asking your short harness, his name, that Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.